Not that we know of.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the committee of the whole meeting of Tuesday, March 10th, 2020 at 7 p.m.
Councilperson Linda.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Karlowski. Here. Whedon.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All of council present, along with our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, and our law solicitor, John Montello. Item number three, can I have a motion for approval of the COW meeting minutes of January 7th, 2020?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion for approval of the COW meeting minutes of January 7th, 2020.
Is there a second? Second by Gloria.
Councilperson Lindell.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Karlowski. Yes. Whedon.
Yes.
Spitznagle.
Item four, anyone would like to make a motion for approval of the COW meeting minutes of January 14th, 2020?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for approval of the COW meeting minutes of January 14th, 2020.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Denny Lindell.
Councilperson Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Karlowski. Yes. Whedon.
Yes.
Spitznagle.
Yes.
Lindell.
Yes.
Item five, approval of the COW meeting minutes of February 11th, 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for approval of the COW meeting minutes of February 11th, 2020.
Is there a second?
Second.
We got a ready on it? Okay.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Karlowski?
Yes.
Whedon?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Council. Meeting minutes approved. Next item, item six, any persons having business before council?
Oh, excuse me, Mayor. I should not have voted on that February letter because I wasn't here. So I'm going to throw my yes and say present for that. And I also like to thank Councilwoman Allen for getting the excuse as well. Thank you.
John, does he need to do anything for that or no? Just Okay.
Thank you, sir. I seconded that.
Well,
they got it written here.
We're good.
We're good then.
Any residents, Dave, if you want to come up?
This gentleman, I want you to know, was in the Korean War.
Yes, sir, he was.
David
Bassam, 188-17 I have two questions for the mayor and this council. One is, I would like to know what permit they got or what they're going to be housing next to me. And I believe I have that right. Number two, I wonder, and I'm going to ask, is this council aware of what's going on in this community? I think the last time I was here, I mentioned about this community, it's a village, but I know it's going to be in the future, is open season. And what do I mean by that is, there's an individual that lives on Egerton. It has a home and has another home. It's under a company's name. And they bought another home right over here for 60-some thousand. And if you look up that company's name, that individual has bought five homes in Garfield Heights last October under company name. So my question is this, and I know cities do have it, but I doubt we do, but I want to know, do we have it so when you have rental property, you have to be registered with this village, and the village has a right to inspect it, and that way they would know how to make them keep it upkeep. That's what I'd like to know. What are we doing about it? And it's going to get, I know one's here, I know one by me, and I know this one's got five homes, and she's got five homes, plus the two she's got over there and hers, and the one she just bought over here for 60-something under a company name, under a game just being played.
Right.
So what do we do?
Well, first of all, we can't limit people from buying houses, okay? And you're aware of that, Dave. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to tell you, a house goes for sale. If they can buy it, they can buy it. And we can't control who buys a house. I've gone through this with you.
I don't care about that.
I'm just being honest with you. We're not going to debate. Okay, as far as we do allow to rent houses out, not multi-families, but houses.
Do they have to register with you? Do they have to register?
They do.
Can you check on them?
I will follow up with Rob. I don't know if he does a yearly check or not. I don't want to tell you if I'm not accurate. So, you know, you come up to the mic, and I'll get you an answer. Okay? I have your number, because we talked. I can call you on that. Okay?
You're going to call me on what's moving next to me, what they're going to have?
No, I can. Let me tell you about that. Okay? On February 28th, February 28th, they did receive, Rob gave me this, I think after the 28th, the beginning of this month, and they did receive their permit. It's a single-family dwelling, okay? That's the whole issue with the group homes that we go through. They're considered a single-family dwelling. That one is by the state of Ohio and by the federal government because it's 5 occupancies or less. Okay, and that's what they pulled their permit for. Okay? The reason I haven't done anything with you because I have to see what is legal and what isn't that we can distribute. You know, you can't always distribute, I can't distribute your information. But if it's legal, I'd be glad to give you a copy of all the permits we have. We have no problem with that. And one carrier. And it's considered a residential dwelling. As a reminder, you are required to submit a residential incident notification. Let's say if there's a problem, meaning you've talked about this, you call the police. No different than any other neighbor. And they respond to that. And then there is an avenue that they do send an incident report to the state who likes
it. Does the permit state that what kind of people are going to be in there?
No, they don't. Let's see what they say here, because they only say something. You're not going to, you can't say what kind of people. But let me find out. I'll give you the permit. We're not here. I'm not going to debate. Okay, I called you last time. We've gone through this about 3-4 times already. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we're doing whatever we can within the law. If I can give you this, again, I can tell you there's 5 occupancies or less. The state and federal government considers it's a residential dwelling. There's nothing this body can do about it. Okay, we're going through every committee. I'm going to have a planning commission, and they're going to look at the new regulations, and we'll have George Smirgan again, which you listened to twice. And
I get it from the state. I get the license.
And I've had this conversation. If you have an idea that we can change this or do something, tell us. We'd be glad to look at it. We've exhausted all our avenues.
Do we check the rental properties?
That has nothing to do. Now we're back into that. This is the group home you were talking about.
Yes.
Okay. As far as the rental properties, I said I will find out and I'll see what we do as far as our fire inspections our building inspections.
As a community, what are we going to do? Are we just going to let it filter in your rental property and then the people move out and they let the property go down? Are we going to have some kind of restrictions like you don't cut the grass, we'll cut it?
No, you're wrong about that. We do go around, we give citations all the time. Rob goes, in fact, a lot of residents are complaining because our building department the last year has been too strict and it's been going on around with different things. So that's, and I'll give you that, I can get that list of how many citations. I did read that off last year, it was in the journal. And I'd be glad to share that.
You got one piece of property here.
It's not fair for you. I'll tell you what you could have did. If you would have called me like you do, you could have called and said, hey, Don, I'm coming to the meeting. Would you be glad to give me that information? Or me drop it off, I'd be glad to get it to you. I'm not trying to hide anything. But when you come up here and you don't even give us time to get it, that's tough, Dave. You got to admit it.
No, it is. Okay. What's tough is the part about the people that's moving next to me, I can find that out from the street. I don't have a problem. I come to the community.
You say that all the time, okay. And I tell you this, and then you come up with the same thing. I will give you everything we have, if I can, within the law. I'm going to tell you, I've been going through this with you for two months now.
As a member of this community,
and you have a right
what
to that.
Are we going to do in regards to the rental property? This person's got 5 homes, 3 here. It's quite obvious.
So we're going to limit him from buying property?
How we do that? Yeah. They have to register with the city.
And that limits him from buying property?
No. Well, that can't. But the city does regulate it to some certain extent. That's what I'm saying. The city has to regulate it to some certain extent. Right now, I don't believe in the city. I go around and I see all kinds of things. I see what we
now, you're talking. Now, you went from purchasing properties to exterior enforcement. Okay? And we do exterior enforcement.
You're trying to blow me off.
No, I'm not at all, Dave. You know I don't blow you off. When you call me, I call you back. I listen to you. I don't call anybody.
I'm talking about this community as a whole that people are taking advantage of. I see it. I can almost prove it by looking on the website. What's going on?
Why don't we do this? Give this body, because I'm not the only one, so I'll let this body respond to you. They legislate and appropriate. This is the body that actually makes the rules. If they think, you know, you need to look into it and tighten up any of the ordinances, we're all for that. Okay? I have a big investment here too, Dave. You're not the only one. I have a big investment too. Okay? I care about this community as much as you do.
I'm sorry, it's time we got to do something.
Mr. Mayor?
Okay, go ahead.
Now, since this is, you just brought this up, I can't remember all the exact details, but a few years ago, we did an ordinance with rental properties. All right? And I do believe there are inspections when a tenant changes.
Yes.
There's another inspection of the property. I do believe we...
That one, definitely on the commercial, the residential, the commercial, and that was a big...
Yeah, and for and also we put in bed and breakfast, things like that. What's that website? VRBO, Airbnb.
Yeah, Airbnb.
We're not allowed to do that. If you would have emailed us, we would have had that information ready available for you. But I'm just going off the top of my head.
We have a question. Where is it now?
And I'm telling you.
Okay.
If we would have had the building inspector here, he would have been able to answer that.
Yeah, we do have inspections. I can't give you...
If someone has rental property for 3 years and all of a sudden we find out about it, I would think it'd have to be a fine for not... They should be known that they got a registered camera.
I'm telling you, yes, it's my recollection that they have to come to the building department and get a permit for rental properties.
So it just...
And it does. And I can't give you the exact specifics because this is just coming up right now. But I'm telling you, we do.
No.
So there's nothing else I can tell you at this moment.
We do.
And we answered your question. We did it.
So do you have all the rental property that you know?
I don't know. I'm not the builder. The building is...
No, we're not going to debate it.
No.
We'll get you... Tell me what information. No.
This is for the community.
We don't have the information.
Yeah, but we don't have the information, so you're going to... What we can get that for you, and I'd be glad to give it to you. Okay, you tell us what you want, and I'll be glad to give it to you, Dave.
I want the community to stand together on something.
For what? We have to be... Sir, we have to... operate within the laws of the state and in this country too.
Yeah.
We can't just say you can't.
I never said no.
You're standing there saying that.
I'm saying we have to keep track of what's coming on. We have to keep track of our rental properties.
We are, sir. You're saying it over and over again. I'm telling you.
I'm not saying. Do we enforce it? Do we have any laws against it?
You're going around and around. We are.
That's for these people to decide. I can do it.
Thank you.
Thank you. But Dave, I will call you and I'll get you a packet. I can put it together. That's not a problem. You can come up and get it. I'll have our building inspector put, what we have. And the ordinances are all on the website and I can print them off, what we enforce for exterior, because you're asking about that. You just asked if we enforce them, okay? And I'll have Rob put together a list of what he has done, like last year, which is real easy, because he's done it in the past. We've citations for, exterior, whether it's painting, whether it's grass cutting, things like that. He has a record of that. So I can get you that. Because that's one of the questions. Those are some of the things.
It's for the people here.
There's nothing. If you ask for it, I want to give it to you.
You can give it to me. Appreciate it. I stay by myself because I went through, but it's for the people.
Mayor, I would just offer an observation. It would seem to me that even if it's a residential property, once that becomes a money-making rental property, it is a commercial property at that point. That's what I would think.
I wish they looked at the group homes that way, but they don't. The state doesn't look at it that way, so be careful what you say, because the state wants to look at it that way.
That's the issue.
That is the issue. The federal government and the state looks at group homes, even though they're a business, as a residential property. You can Google it, which Dave, you have, and you know that. It's true. They look at it. That's the problem all the communities are struggling with. Katie probably can contest to that. I'm sure you have some in Parma Heights, where you also work. I can tell you, meeting with the mayors, they're going through the same thing. Some of them already went through it. Lindhurst, he went through it a few years ago, okay? And they're kind of past that, kind of settled down. Now, all of a sudden, us, North Royalton, they've been putting them up there. We're kind of like the new kids that they've been going into, you know.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
To Dave, why don't you, if you can, if you have a computer, write out all your questions. If you don't, put a list, because I think what happens here is we start on one subject, it goes to another subject, now we're into outside property. You know, all your questions that you can think of that you want to know about, and then once you get that, give it to the mayor.
Where do you get all these questions? There was two. I want to know about the moving next week, which I have a right. I talked to my country. I have a right to know that. And number two is, I have a right to know what our ordinances are.
Our ordinances are public.
No issues. No more than that.
Yeah, no, the ordinances are public records. We have them on the webpage. Anybody can get them. They're not in a secret book. We can print it for you. A lot of times what happens is, it happens all the time. And I just so you know, Dave, people will call up Lisa and they'll ask for a records request, which anybody in this room can do. And it'd be just that. You'd say, I'd like to see the ordinance on rental properties. And Lisa will say, okay, you might give me a couple days, Dave, I'll put it together. And we do that. We do that all the time. There's nothing hidden there. If it's on the books, and by law, we have to give you that. You're exactly right. There's a records request law that within so many days we have to provide that. And we do. And we encourage that. There's no problem if there's anything. Now, the only reason I'm hesitating with this, because this is something from the state, and it probably is, but I just got to confirm it, because there's some information, you know, sometimes when it comes to the residents of properties, there's certain things you can say, especially when they're being taken care of by a caregiver, okay? I don't want to open us up for any liability, okay? But if it's public record, we want to give it to you, and by law, we have to. So it's, yeah, go ahead.
Do you not believe that this little village at this time, do you not believe that this little village should start gathering things together for how we're going to the rental property that other communities have?
No.
You don't think so?
No, because we've already
We don't need anything.
We have addressed it and we have something. Do you have something?
Can you prove how you enforce it?
What are we enforcing?
I said I'd get you the list of the citations, Dave.
Okay.
I don't have in front of it. That's how you're saying, how can we prove it? Well, I said I'd get you the list of the citations that our department has issued.
I don't believe, in my honesty.
Come up to the mic.
I don't believe, in my honesty, that there is a rental property here that we don't know about, and it's going to be growing. And I believe what's going to happen. And that's it. I've been around more than anyone in here. I've been through a lot of it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
When it comes to the group homes, of course, and you said it multiple times, the Planning Commission is looking over the new stuff, and we're going to get a hold of it. And we had the top guy in the state looking at it. We're ahead of pretty much every other community in the state as far as that goes. But even at that, there's nothing much we can do. Period. These people, you're not talking, I have a feeling this gentleman here thinks that there's going to be
ex-cons, murderers, or whatever it's going to be. These may or may not be handicapped people with any type of affliction. I've got a handicapped person in my family, and I know people here who's got handicapped people in their family. They have a right to live in a community. All right? And they don't have, I'm speaking, sir. They have a right to live in a community, and they have a right to be taken care of in peace. And yes, you may have a right to know what permits have been pulled for their facility. That's fine. But they also have a right to live without anybody bothering them. They have a right to live in peace. We don't know if these people are just simply, you know, I don't want to say simply, quadriplegics, you know, paraplegics, autistic. We have no idea. And yes, you have a right to know. But those people have a right, and we have to be very, very, very careful up here. Bedford found this out by saying one wrong thing up here. This village can be sued by any of us saying the wrong thing about anybody moving into this village. All right? So that's where I stand on this. We've done what we can do. When the Planning Commission gets it back to us, we're going to pass it. But that's it. Those people have a right to live peacefully, and they don't have any reason, once, if everything is said and done, and they're living their lives peacefully, nobody here can harass them because they don't like a quote-unquote group home being next or near to them. So that coin goes both, there's two sides to that coin.
Okay, I got a side for you. First of all, I never said I wasn't compassionate. You want to talk about how I feel about something? You go to the VA hospital, my friend.
I am not questioning your service to this country or this community.
Of course not.
Not one bit. I'm not talking about you being a racist. I never said anything like that to that.
No one insinuated.
No, I know. I didn't
stop,
insinuate
stop,
anything.
Stop.
I have compassion for people. I just want to.
And I believe that, Dave. Me and you thought, and I believe that. And I think Brian. But
well, sure.
There is a counterpoint. Both made your points. I think what we'll do is I'll get you the information you requested. If there's anything else you need after we give it, you can call me, which you have. Okay, you can call the office and I call you right back, or you can talk to Lisa or anybody else in the office that answers the phone. We're glad to help. If there's something, if we have something,
I'll do that.
And I'll get you the stuff that
I'll
you requested.
I'll call you about the house, and I'm not going to mention any more about the village. It's up to you.
No, we want you to, Dave. I just don't want to keep. We want to get somewhere, and I think getting somewhere would give you is giving you the information. And then if you look at the information, you have questions on it, then be sure to bring them up to me or council, whatever you think. But we want to give you answers before we debate it, because we might be debating something after you see what we have that you say, oh gosh, look at, they have enforced things. I guess I don't need to. So let's see what we do first.
Okay, that's fine.
Any other residents have anything before council?
I don't know what you want, 7612 Baker. I wasn't going to say anything today. This is just 2 minutes, real quick. Who would be the committee head that would deal with housing or houses?
Not houses, buildings.
Anyway, whoever that might be, maybe you might get a copy today of what the rental codified ordinances would be.
Sure.
Okay. So I would suggest whatever you guys think would be, get him a copy of the rental codified ordinances. Okay, that takes care of that.
Well, so, I just said that's what I was going to do.
Why?
I just said that for
Yeah. But I'm saying,
minutes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Totally.
I was just
but
trying.
Thank you.
I was cutting to the chase, whoever would be involved with
that. Well, I didn't think I could
okay.
say it any simpler.
Well,
that I was going to put it in
the head of the committee building, or you. That's fine. Okay, I want to be short. Dave and council and the villagers, If you can't stop it, regulate it, and make it to the max enforcement, like we're, I'm sure we're planning on doing. Planning Commission meeting, I hope a lot of people...
We've already been at the max. Let me clarify something with you.
I want to be sure.
No, well, I'll be as long as I want. We have maximum enforcement. You're not going to be surprised when Mr. Smerigan's here because he went through it. It's just updated from the state code that changed, and it's not going to be a big change. In fact, it's almost a little more lenient because the state made it even more lenient than it was. Okay? And we have to follow state codes. So if you think you're going to come here and you're going to find that there's going to be some big change and we're going to be able to put a number in or we're not going to be allowed to have them come in, you're wrong. Because the state ain't going to allow us. We'll have those state regulations there and he'll explain that to us like he has in the past. What we're doing is just making it so we aren't opened up for litigation, okay? And it is what it is. That's why most communities haven't even engaged yet because it's not giving them any more teeth to keep them out or do anything as suggested. It's actually, according to George Smerigan, it's actually broadened it a little bit. The state has even broadened the Federal Fair Housing Act. Okay. And you can Google that. I know Dave educated himself well on that. And it's all out there. It's all out there about the people, communities that have sued. You know how many have won? Zero. And I'll even have George bring how many have tried it in Cuyahoga County and won? Zero. But they spent a lot of money. So if you want us to spend a lot of money, this body can do that. As long as you, but I'm afraid your results aren't going to be good. So, I'm just telling you what they told me. Go ahead, Tom.
And at that Planning Commission meeting, Katie mentioned 21 days of the workers there, we could collect payroll tax or income. What do you like tax?
Payroll
tax. So there's something at the meeting we can bring up to at the Planning Commission how to make sure we get our money due. And what is an incident report exactly? The chief might already know from a couple of the group homes going. He might be able to explain that. Or at the meeting. What is a man house? Jennifer mentioned it the other week, that they try to be there 24 hours. Well, when my parents were 94 and a half, we could not lock the door from the outside. Because what if there's a fire? Because we were there as much as we could. Right? Six, five brothers and sisters. We were there as much as we could. We weren't there 24 hours a day because we worked. And can you lock it from the outside? What if there's a fire? She probably has an opinion on that.
Well, here, stop. I can answer that.
This is all for the Planning Commission meeting. But I don't want to hold this meeting.
You want to talk about the group homes? That's on the permit, whether or not, if they don't have full-time care there, they have to be able to vacate the house in a fire. Okay? And that's something also the fire department.
Mr. Mayor,
the fire department is very concerned about that. I'd be more concerned about some of the elderly we have here that we don't know about that can't vacate the house in some, or don't even have smoke detectors, which we're trying to reach, which Carol works hard to try to reach.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
If there is not full-time 24-hour care there also, they have to be able to vacate the house on their own. So you cannot have a paraplegic or a quadriplegic left there alone where they cannot remove themselves from a dangerous situation.
So if there is somebody...
If there's anybody there like that, there has to be somebody there 24 hours.
I know the house on Connolly Road has no garage. So when I don't see a car there, it's not manned. I thought the house on Connolly Road had Alzheimer's patients. I could be wrong. That could be a rumor.
No, you shouldn't be discussing anybody's medical condition.
Well, that would be with the Planning Commission or whoever. Smerigan. Okay, you're right about that. You're right. But if there's the point, can somebody that doesn't have the cognitive reasoning get out on their own? Mm-hmm. All stuff for the Planning Commission, just wanted
to... No, just so you know, that it's actually on the permits for group homes with the state of Ohio, because they're very concerned about that federal government. It's not, it'd be a shame, really, if you're relying on this body. That is part of the permit. No different than a nursing home or whatever. You know, they have to provide so much care. They have to have so many exits. These fall into the ones, this one at least, the one I'm dealt with, different than maybe the one on Alexander, the large one, falls into residential.
So it doesn't need anything different, and that's the deed than anybody's house right here. That is the big thing. That is what the state and the federal government rule, that it's a residential dwelling. Okay? And that's why it's not regulated any different than your house or my house. So that's really the big thing with that one, at least the one I'm
here. Yeah.
And the reason it's going to planning is because that's where our code requires. Technically, it's probably a waste of time to educate you about residential facilities. More than there's nothing we can change.
I think we have three meetings right here with this council on it.
Right.
One or two with George. Rob answered quite a bit of it. I think I had Tom Jordan. I'll probably have Tom Jordan too. Our economic development consultant is very familiar with it. He dealt with it not only in Cleveland. On a large scale when he was economic development consultant for Cleveland, actually director there, not consultant, and also in North Royalton and some other cities that he serves. So he's also very familiar with it. Just so you know, everybody here in this room, when it came to this issue, this body here just didn't say, okay, we got George Smerigan and you know, he's the only one. We reached out to a lot of people. I know myself, I reached out to surrounding communities. Rob reached out to people in his capacity, zoning and building inspectors, and asked them what they're doing. We reached out to our fire department because they act in some ways with going into different facilities. We reached out with Tom Jordan, our economic development consultant. So it wasn't just gathering information from one person. It was gathering information from many individuals who've had experience, a lot more experience than me with this subject, and listen to them, along with councils from other communities and mayors from other communities, and said, hey, what are you dealing with? You know, what road have you gone down? What have you done? What's your experience? So I just want to share that. And this body does that almost with everything. Gloria approved it the other night when she said she called around and talked to other communities about what they offer as far as for seniors and recreation and senior services. And we've all done that. I know everybody here has been great at doing research. Has done a lot of research, and so I just want you to know it's not just relying on somebody. And I know, in fact, somebody thought that person when George Smerigan was here was working for the group homes, and he's not. He's a third party who works for a lot of communities. Oh, and we also reached out to our engineers. Believe it or not, Joe and Don, even though they really don't do that, they kind of come into that. They're in these communities, and they hear and they. Things. So I just want to know, we reach out to a lot of different people for different information.
Yeah, Mayor?
Yeah.
Just for the income tax side of it, I do have a family member that works part-time in a group home in Bedford. So I know that they pay taxes to Bedford when they're there. So they do, it's right on the W-2, Bedford. And maybe it would alleviate some people, you know, just because we're talking that this is deemed residential and stuff, they do have a permit and authorization by the state, correct? So they do go under inspections, right? Maybe we can get a thing together of what exactly are the inspections, what hoops they do have to jump through, and have that information compiled. So we can give it to residents. I didn't notice the man left, but we can give it to residents and people who are interested to see what exactly they have to. And I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what they have to go through to get their permitting and license insurance, things like that. But maybe that's something that we need to do. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it probably is something we need to do. Just get that information all in one nice clean sheet and say, this is what they got to do.
And that's just probably state inspection.
I'm sure.
A thought might be, can we have our guy in with the state, but they may not allow it.
Right.
But there's a thought. So while we got the chief here, I'll put him on the spot, because he probably won't be here during the planning commission meeting that will be coming up. Chief, what is an incident report?
Maybe I should have him here.
Well, he can answer it.
We start on one subject and we get on another.
This is the only thing that he would probably answer.
The whole staff.
What would be an incident report that the police would call an incident and they'd have to report, have you had one? Because then you don't come to the planning commission. You just take care of it. Now you're here.
An incident report is a report that is done by dispatch that something occurred. And then if an officer has to investigate it, his report into that incident, which has a number, date, time, for parties' names, so it can always go back to that. It is public record if need be, if somebody, you know, needs it. That's what his report is.
Yes, ma'am. It is an incident. Something that walked away.
Something that walked away, a disturbance, a traffic crash, a domestic, a fire. So, I mean, there's a big list of...
But here was my point on that. Not so much, and I did explain this to Dave once before, not so much what happened with the incident report. What's different about these, let's say, than your residential. So let's say the chief goes to your house, there's a domestic there, they leave. Okay, the incident report I was referring to, if there's incident report, we're supposed to report it to the Ohio Mental Health Division, and then they keep track of those. And if there's a problem, who's ever running that facility or the caregiver, that third party is responsible for that. That's what I was trying to explain. You almost have you can complain about your neighbor all day, and if the neighbor says, you know, and then the chief keeps going there, where there's a third party, and that's why we have found in most incidents that we don't have a lot. Is it true that we don't have many problems with our...
We've had several incidents up at Dunham Road with a gentleman that was there. He kept fighting with the other residents,
right.
And that he would get mad, he would leave, and usually there's like three or four nurses aides or helpers that are there, and they weren't able to control him, so he would take off running through the woods over at Ashurst, so our officers would have to go there and try to locate him. Our officers would end up pepper spraying him, and they call him the squad and take him to the hospital and get him cleaned up. So we reported that to the county, and after several months of incidents that just kept happening there, they were able to remove from the house and place them in a more secured area.
So I guess that's the point I was making. There is an avenue where this goes, and they keep track of that. Now the other homes we have in...
No, the one in Alexander, most of the time when we go there, it's squat calls.
Right.
Patients.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other residents have anything before council? Come on up to the mic, Sean.
Sean McCormick, 18850 Alexander Road. I sit in the back and I listen, but I just wanted to concur with the mayor about the group home thing. It's a losing battle almost for a community. In a skilled nursing setting, a nursing home, as an employee and part of the management team, I'm required with my team members on a monthly basis to send people to group homes to approve them for independent living to better their daily life. We do this all the time. On a state level, I'm sure it's much cheaper, which makes communities like ours, you're just certain thing. You're not going to be able to say no. You're just going to have to work with it. State reportables may or may not involve the police officers. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And everything's HIPAA protected. You know, no names can be released, diagnoses can't be released. The specifics of these people can't be released. It's all protected information. And as time goes by, every community in Ohio is going to see more of these because it's cheaper to pay for a group home on a government level than it is to pay for a nursing home. I mean, you're talking $6,000 to $10,000 versus maybe $2,000 or $1,500. I mean, it's Ohio Job and Family Services funnels into these homes, ODH, the Ohio Department of Health, the Department of Aging. There's so many agencies involved. It's this giant picture, and we're playing just a part of it. But like Councilman Spitznagel said, they're people. They're people too. So the more information that we can get and learn on this specific topic is where we're going to succeed. The federal government is making this happen. The state of Ohio, we have to comply. We don't have a choice. You don't have a choice with the nursing homes in your immediate community. You can't control the amount of squad calls or the police officer calls. You just have to work with the people running these facilities to try and make it better for our community. So I feel your pain. You're ahead of the game. I've been working in the industry since 2011. Other people up here as well are or familiar with it. I commend you for trying to get your research done, and for the audience, just I could probably find some questions out. I don't deal with group homes, but I'm only a phone call away from someone that might know somebody in the business. They do have to abide to annual inspections. And the how-to on how to open your group home is openly available on the ODH Ohio.gov website. You can literally get a checklist that will tell everyone in this room how much it costs to open a group home and what you need to do. Everyone in this room can open up a group home, a residential care facility. So it's on the internet. It's 27 pages long, but they literally break it down step by step.
Thank you, Sean.
As we know, what's true is this is the largest percentage of aging right now is the baby boomers. There isn't enough facilities to house, and that's why it's happening, and we're in that cycle. It's the largest group of retirement people. It's the largest group of people going into homes, seniors. And I know I'm part of this. Anybody 64 and who was 1964 and who was born before that. But right now, I know the next 10 years, they say, is the largest group of the baby boomers that are out there that are going to be retiring. And so it's also a need. It's also a need. Anybody else, any other residents have anything before?
Ken Jackman, Conway Boulevard, 7175. The last 4 years, I've worked as a volunteer at the Wake Park VA. Of the 4 years, the last 2 years, I worked in what they call a care tower. Two of the floors are dementia. One floor is a psychic. There's a hospice where people, it's a complete end. My contribution is a dog I have. She's a therapy dog. When a patient see her, they get absolutely excited. They get ecstatic. When I leave, they say, thanks for coming, you made my day, and that's the way it is. The upside is you talk to them. I do 35 to maybe 40 patients on a visit, try to spend 5 minutes with them. And the most exciting thing some of them have to say is, I think I'm going to a group home. As it stands right now, with the VA hospitals, they're allowed to stay maximum 90 days. Then they could be transferred to Cincinnati, to Detroit, or to wherever they have to go. So for these people to be accepted to go into a group home, it's an absolute blessing. These are people that have served the country, given their life. A lot of them have given their legs and arms, and this is the very, very least that they deserve.
And when I leave there with my dog, I feel, God, I really helped. The first time I went on the dementia floor, I thought, how could anybody do this to face these people? Then I thought, well, somebody has to. Somebody has to. And it's a good feeling that when I can be there and to see their the anxieties, when a guy says that he might be going to a group home, I thought, my God, what a great thing.
My dog would be good.
That's all I know.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Jeckman, I wish you would have spoke a lot earlier while we still had Mr. Basso here. just because I do know with a lot of group homes that I get called to, most of the time it's veterans anymore. So.
Go ahead, Beth.
Good evening, everyone. Benjamin Blondin, 1683 South Middlesex. I was going to put this off, but since the chief's here, I have a question. If our village uses body cameras for our officers?
Yes, we do.
We do? Okay. This was just brought to my attention. The body cam trend started a few years ago, and civil liberty advocates warned that cops would soon use them for facial recognition. The body cam companies are now pushing this. Facial recognition company Wolfcom has a contract with over 1,500 police departments and other agencies. They are pushing this live facial recognition technology. And it's my opinion that if this is allowed in our community, then virtually everyone that comes in contact with a police officer will be subject to a perpetual lineup. Perpetual lineup. So basically you interact with an officer and they automatically have your entire record. You know, it's almost an invasion of privacy in my opinion. Just wanted to, you know, get that statement out there.
Well, Stan, if you want to make a comment, I know we do have them, and I know they've been effective for the police department, so I don't know if you want to comment or have any comment on that.
We do have body cameras, and we also have cameras in our cruisers. Okay, there's no type of software or anything where we can do that.
Yeah. There's an app that looks up the body cam that actually runs the live facial recognition.
I cannot do that.
Okay. I just wanted to conversate about it because it's something on the horizon.
Mr. Mayor, I have read about that. It's the wave of the future, just like
the airport too.
Maybe. Yeah, that they watch and they can pick out, suppose, like, you know, what possible terror, Brian Spitznagel, you know, anybody who's shady characters. But I think it's going to be not necessarily here, but part of our future, unfortunately, because you can't go anywhere without your phone knowing. You know, there's cameras everywhere. Those days of being incognito are gone.
I have global entry on my passport. And when I go internationally, I go usually come back and I go through the global entry line because it's shorter. All I do is I stick my beautiful face. I don't tell anything. I stick my face in front of the camera, and a sticker comes out, and it's got my face on there with what flight I was on, what time I left, what time I got here. I don't tell it anything, and I hand that to the customs agent, and I'm on my way. So it's kind of scary. Now, once the machine gave me, it spit out a ticket, and it was not me. And then I went up to the agent, and I said, this isn't me, and he had his rubber gloves on. I'm like, oh, no. but he let me through, and he said, I don't know how that happened, but yeah, it's here in all forms and everything, so it's...
I was looking into the statistics about how accurate it was, and it's roughly 99% accurate on white people and only 30% accurate on African Americans.
Really?
Yeah, as it is right now. Wow. But they're trying to push the artificial intelligence into it to work out those kinks.
Huh.
But that's all.
Thank you.
Any other residents have anything before council? Council comments. I think everybody's pretty good there, correct? That's our next item. All right, ordinance 2020-1.
An ordinance amending section 432.435 entitled Use of Mobile Telephone While Driving of our codified ordinances of the village so as to make use of them use of a mobile phone while driving a primary offense, declaring emergency.
I think we've talked about this quite a bit. We're ready to, unless anybody has any questions, ready to pass it tonight. We can pass it. Go ahead,
Mayor Kroger. I do still have some reservations on this entire piece of legislation, and I've talked to you a little bit about it. And I want to be clear, I think this type of legislation is needed, just not sure we're at the right time with it. And I've shared before, I have personal experience with a distracted driver that actually was in an accident. So this is near and dear to me. But my concerns are still some things we've talked about a little bit over the course of the first two readings. My concern is still on the number one, the authority, and whether or not we actually have the authority as a statutory village to enact an ordinance that may assume supersedence over the Ohio Revised Code. And I know we cite home rule, but my understanding of home rule. Especially for a statutory village, is given that village the authority to enact an ordinance when there is no precedent in the state. And in this case, we do have precedents on the books in the state of whether or not this could be considered a primary offense. My other concern is timing. I know we talk about the fact that the state is working on a distracted driver piece of legislation. Granted, it could be, who knows when the state could do that. I get that. So I'm not that concerned about the timing piece. And then the other piece we talked about, cursory way, is we talked about what the state is looking at as it relates to the misdemeanor, this being a misdemeanor still. But what will the actual misdemeanor charge and enforcement be? The state talks about in their legislation a period of time, perhaps 6 months, of no enforcement and more of an education period where people will have an opportunity to change their behavior and their culture. But our ordinance does not speak to how we will handle anything on the enforcement side. So for those reasons, I'm just, I'm only one of six. Those are my reservations towards this piece of legislation.
Did you want to comment on the rule at all, John, or how you feel about it?
I think initially I said we should wait until the state passes their piece, but I don't see any harm being a mechanism in here. I don't think it's going to be a problem as far as that goes. Other communities are. I assume other villages are doing it, whether they're statutory or not, I'm not sure that. But I'm good either way. If you want to hold it down, I'm fine with that. Just keep keep it on the books the way it is, or if you want to pass it, I'm fine with that too.
Mayor?
Yes.
Two things. One, it's my understanding that since we're keeping it in a minor misdemeanor, being home rule, the state's okay with that. We couldn't make it a felony, for example. That's where the state intercedes. That's my understanding of it. We could, just like we did with the cameras, speed cameras, I don't have any problem with the enforcement with having a, and this was not in the legislation for the speed cameras, but we did have a period of time when they would give a ticket, I believe, but it was forgiven, you know. And I don't have any problem with that. Give 3, 4, 5, 6 months to people, you know, if they're pulled over. In all practicalities, it's probably going to have to be pretty egregious for them to be pulled over. A police officer, you're going to have to see them, you know, and say, hey, we have this law here. I don't have any problem doing that. I don't want to speak for the chief or the police department. I don't believe they would have any problem with that. But I don't have any problem. Mr. Whedon did send us that thing. Thank you for that. The state, I believe that was you. The governor has proposed legislation that goes beyond, well beyond, what we are possibly enacting. And at that time, we would have to revisit it. I'm assuming we would have to revisit it at that time. But as Mr. Whedon says, who knows when that's going to happen? So I don't have any problem doing this. I think there's a need to do it for egregious acts. And I fully am aware of Mr. Whedon's reservations and can appreciate them.
How does the rest of the council feel? Did you have it on for third reading or suspension or whatever you want to do, or if you want to table it? It's up to this body here. I think we've spent some time, quite a bit of time. I think putting it in place would be bad if the state. No, it's something we can revisit it at that time. I can't argue that it's not needed either, so I'm just telling you, as far as I'm concerned, I have no problem supporting it. I probably won't be the one to vote on it, but I'm just giving you my opinion on it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
I will support it. I think it should just be passed on. If there's anybody in this room that has not had a near miss by someone on the telephone or reading a book, and I mean, it just goes on and on, with makeup on, whatever.
Shaving with a razor.
They just missed me, and I thought, lady, you don't even know that this could have been your last day on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You were not paying attention because you were doing something that you should not have been doing. You should have been driving the car, not doing whatever else you were doing. So, I think it's, and you know, if you put it in the journal, we passed this, or welcome people, you know, so they're going to know about it, whatever, but I think it should be passed. I don't know how many people, maybe the chief can tell us with accidents that you've seen, just because people were not paying attention, they were doing something else than what they should have been. So I think it's time it's passed. I think it's, and I think the state should get on the ball and make this, let everybody know about it.
It could have
saved a lot of lives.
Mr. Mayor, I'm ready to pass it as a minor misdemeanor. I mean, I think following Brian's conversation, you know, it has to be pretty egregious, you know. I mean, sometimes, I know my husband, he's on the phone driving because that's where they send him. I mean, he has to answer the phone for his job, wherever he is, because that's the coordinates they give him, what have you. But I know what you're talking about. I was in an accident where someone hit me in the rear end. The guy was bending over. He was picking something up and he slammed right in the back of me.
French fry off the floor.
You know, and he says it wasn't even my phone. He was bending over. So I think we need to do this before the state does it. We can always revisit it once the state does it if we want to. I think it's just as ready to go.
Oh, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I certainly would give, it's completely up to the chief's discretion, you know, if they want to start handing out warnings first to people to let them know and for what period of time. I don't think that we should advertise, hey, we're not going to let you use your cell phone, but for the next 6 months, it's okay because we're just going to give you a warning. You know, so to that, I had a family member that was almost killed by... They were making a left-hand turn with an arrow, and oncoming traffic had a solid red light and blew right through it, specifically on a cell phone talking. So I see this every day with work. There's at least one MVA that I respond to, one per week minimum. So I would like to see this passed.
We don't pass out warnings when an officer makes a traffic stop. They do advise that person for talking on the phone. They'll let dispatch know, okay, you know, been warned, advised, and then the dispatcher will put in her notes that this person was stopped for talking on the cell phone. So this way, down the road, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the road, if we can, you know, we stop that person again to show that he has been or she has been warned, then we can go ahead and cite them.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, so we'll talk about who we'll introduce in the special counsel. Is everybody good with that? Any more discussion on that, or anybody have anything? Danny, you have anything?
Mayor, whatever happened to our proper time and attention to driving? Is that still on the books, or it's gone, or what happened to that?
Here, Chief can.
It's still on the books, like this morning. The light went out, or actually a couple of the traffic signal lights went out on Alexander, Walton, Alexander, and Dunham. And we were setting up the stop signs at Dunham and Alexander, and we had a rear-end collision. And the lady wasn't paying attention. You know, she was on her way to work, and rear-ending the person in front of her. And, yeah, we still had that on the driver's attention.
Did you ticket that lady? Oh yeah, she was cited. Just yelling it out, tickets on someone who cannot pay attention and proper time of the driving. So this looks like a duplicate thing to me, Mayor. I mean, that's how the person made. I'm not disposed to really support her vote for it, especially. Thank you. But maybe the chief could add on, put you on the spot, from a police officer perspective. On this law, from your perspective, your crew's perspective, how is this different, or is it different than just time?
We had talked about it with the officers of that. Officers on patrol going down Alexander Road, you see a vehicle in front of them. They're weaving, you know, 8:30 in the morning. You see that person on the phone talking and put makeup on, reading the newspaper, or reaching for something.
Yeah.
You know, our officer will stop them, and we can cite them for, you know, believing the driver in attention, talking on the phone.
So they just cite them then?
Yes. Okay. They can be cited. We also had talked about, say, you know, our officer makes a traffic stop, the person was on the phone, and we asked him why we're on the phone. Well, I was calling my son or daughter's doctor, they got the flu. And I'm on my way home, or on my way to the babysitter to pick the child up and take him to the doctor. Or we had an emergency. So now, you know, we cite them, they come to court, and then, you know, it's like a legal battle of, you know, okay, they have to bring the proof that, you know, or we can subpoena their cell phones to show that they had called, you know, the doctor or Jones or whoever, you know, so then it gets into the legal battle. You could ask John. I mean,
you know, certainly if someone has a legitimate excuse, you know, I would dismiss that charge and have them redo another charge, you know. So it's more of a tool, I think, to help people deter some people from using the cone, and so as a result, there'll be less accidents.
When you do pass it, you can put it in a journal and say that, you know, for 6 months we're going to do, you know, warnings or advising, and then we will be enforcing it. That's kind of a deterrent.
And Colfer's opinion, the record is, you know, that's pretty time consuming too, the main case for using the phone.
Good. And this is for the chief and John here. The only problem with that is we do have on the books cell phone use as a secondary offense. And so now we make it primary, and then we put the 6 months. But let's say an officer pulls someone over for weaving, as you say, and then, you know, things are bad, and they want to put a little more meat in sight because they were also on the phone. So what do we do there? I mean, the warning thing to me is we've already got it on the books that you use a cell phone, you're going to get in trouble. To me, I don't really like the warning because it's already there. Now it's a primary offense.
That person is like stopped for, like I said, weaving or, you know, whatever the violation was. Speed plus talking on the phone, so that's a second offense.
That would be a different price under this?
Right, that would be the second offense.
Right. I mean, like Mr. Montel said, we've had it on for three readings, so it's been in our, let's be a third reading, it's been in the journal, and we'll also have it in the journal when it passes, too. So, I mean, it's up to how council feels, but I mean, I know the state mentioned they might give what? They might give a little time, six months, but I think we're in a little different situation, but it's up to council.
Mr. Mayor, I didn't mean that we would put it in the journal and say we're giving a warning. I just meant we put it in the journal.
Gotcha. Period. Okay.
Lost my train of thought.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how many people here drive and try to go through their phone directory and make phone calls? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, nobody's going to raise their hand to that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Mr. Mayor.
George.
Price and paper being honest, Mr.
Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I remember what I was going to say now. I believe 90% of the people out there driving do not think it's wrong to talk on your cell phone, on your telephone when you're driving. It is so, people are so, you know, with the phone. I mean, they just don't go anywhere without it. And they don't even think it's wrong to drive a car and talk at the same time. So I think some of them, they get pulled, they said, I mean, I'm not allowed to talk on my phone when I'm driving. You know, it's just, it's, you know, it's almost an extension of their hand anymore as the phone. They don't go anywhere without it.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor.
How many of you have right in your phone now? Your pocket? Yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Well, may I do? Excuse me, because I have to finish my comments, okay? I never attempt to use a phone while I'm driving. If I need to use a phone, I will pull over. I'll find a convenient place to pull over and park and make my telephone call. And I think anyone, I think a police officer, anytime they catch someone telephoning while driving, they should cite them and give them a ticket. And say that's not proper for the law. Now that's my feelings, okay? Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor?
That's what this legislation is intended to be a
part of. I will admit, I brought this up when we first started talking about it, that we do have time and attention laws, and I gave my experience as a police officer when he told me that too, when he gave me a ticket. I understand that some of this is probably redundant, but what not, it gives, I don't know if it's more teeth or what, psychological teeth, let's call it, to a person receiving a ticket. Here, you got a ticket specifically because you were talking on the phone.
not time and attention, by the way, you were talking, because you were talking on the phone. I just think it gives a little bit more teeth. Maybe it doesn't in reality. I have no idea. But
we're not the first community to do this either. I mean, there's for years other communities have had.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe it gives the police officers a little more, if I'm a police officer, I see somebody just going down the road without, weaving or anything else, just straight ahead, just talking on their phone. Well, I wouldn't pull somebody over for that.
George would.
Well, you know what I mean? Nothing else is going on. But now, that is, we know that's not the right thing to be doing. So now I'm a police officer. It's like, okay, I've put it over, but I'm going to give you a warning because, of the circumstances or not, that's up to the police officer.
But it's not just talking, though, too, because I believe Gloria had said one time, and I've yelled at my partners.
Well,
they have this on the steering wheel right there, so it's right in front of their face. They're looking up at the road, and they're texting with two thumbs. It's resting right on the steering column and leaning against the top of the steering wheel. So it's not just a matter of talking. I mean, it's using that,
If I remember correctly, hands-free is
fine.
Is fine. So you can't actually talk, but you've got both hands on the wheel, you're looking straight ahead, just like I sing in the car, and nobody wants to hear that. So, kind of the same thing. Your mouth is going, but your hands are on the wheel, and hopefully you're paying attention.
Yeah, I agree with Councilwoman Allen that we may not be the first community to enact this type of legislation, but I don't recall it was Richmond Heights and another village.
And it's one.
Yeah, but I think the difference is we would be the first statutory village move into this type of legislation, and that's still my number one concern is our authority as a statutory village to whether or not we could enact this type of legislation that would move what's on the books for the state of Ohio, not so much the penalty, Mr. Spitznagel, but the actual offense on the state level. It's a secondary offense, and we would be moving into a primary offense, and that is my number one concern, is whether or not we actually have the authority, and whether we would be able to withstand a challenge if someone wanted to challenge our authority. That's my number one.
Well, the only thing that I can say to that is I have to trust our law director that says, it's the charges remaining the same as a minor misdemeanor, then that's it.
No, the charge is not the same. The charge is not the primary offense.
But it's still a minor misdemeanor. It's not being upgraded to a misdemeanor or a major misdemeanor or...
Legal standpoint. If it becomes an issue with someone and they raise it as hey, it's not, you're not giving that authority, I probably would dismiss the case, to be honest with you. It's wrapped up in litigation over this, what I'm saying? There usually is another charge, and I don't think nine times out of ten, right? They're busy enough, doing their regular jobs on the tickets. So I don't think they're going to have a patrol for telephone. Maybe they will.
So you have no problem with council passing this and having this on the books?
Correct.
Okay. Any other comments? Mm-hmm. Well, you have a little bit more to decide.
Okay.
All right. Item number 9, resolution 2020-1, internet sales.
Providing for the sale of personal property no longer of any use by internet auction with the terms and conditions thereof in 2020 and declaring an emergency.
Any questions on that, or are we pretty good on that? Okay.
I just want to know what we're feeding our police officers. He's a big people. He's a big dude.
That's right. Like that still.
My goodness. I'd be like, yes, sir.
Yeah, here we go.
Are we good with item 9?
Yes.
Internet sales. Okay. How about item 10?
Resolution declaring the public convenience and welfare requires rehabilitation of Tinker Creek Road on Walton Hills Western Corporation Line to Dunham Road and Dunham Road from Tinkers Creek Road to Mendota Avenue in the village of Walton Hills in the city of Maple Heights. Total estimated project cost $3,075,000. Finding that special assessments will neither be levied nor collected to pay for any part of the cost of said improvement. Authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement of cooperation with Cuyahoga County and or Maple Heights in connection with said project. And also authorizing the village engineer to prepare specification and advertise the bids regarding the project and declaring emergency.
How's everybody with that? I know we've talked about that quite a bit. We've got the engineers here. We had Joe here. I know Rob commented. We spent a lot of time talking about it, doing different research. Everybody comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We even have some residents ride a bike on it. With a camera, right?
He was on his phone.
He was on the
phone. You got it covered.
I've been screaming all the way down.
I have nothing under other business for the COW meeting. I'll have something under other business for the council meeting, but nothing under other business for the COW. Anybody else have anything before I ask for adjournment?
Just a quick comment, Mayor, regarding the group homes. We had some good dialogue here tonight on the residential homes. And, I just want to say, as a resident of Walton Hills, I think we need to prepare ourselves that this is the way of the world. And the fact that in Walton Hills, we're sitting in a prime location. What better location in this area? One acre lot that to provide this type of accommodation for other residents. You know, I think it's just a matter of time. We may have others. A 1 acre lot, if you put up a nice fence or something like that, you're going to provide a pretty good location for the type of residences. So I just think it's here to stay. And we embrace our neighbors when they come and like we would any others.
Thank you, Ray. Anybody else have anything other business before I ask for the chairman?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
Just to dovetail on what Ray said, in Oakwood, they have two homes, and I have visited the homes on a regular basis. I think for the grace of God, my two children were born whole, for lack of a better word. But some of these people there are blind, they cannot hear, but there's a place for them. They're human beings, and they're there with other people like them, and there's someone to take care of them. If you had a child like that, all you would do is worry about what happens when I pass away, what happens to my child. So there's a place they need to be. They need to have a home like everyone else. And, with the group homes, I don't know why everybody is so, up in arms about it. They're human beings, and they need a place where they're cared about and they're safe. And, as I said, Walnut Hills is a beautiful place. It relaxes. This beautiful community. It's happening, so embrace it. That's all I have to say. Thank God that you have healthy families. Thank you.
And anybody else have anything? Can I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make motion to adjourn the COW of March 10, 2020.
Second.
Councilperson Chulevsky?
Yes.
Whedon?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Okay. Committee of the whole meeting of Tuesday, March 10, 2020. Adjourned at 8:20.